Good morning. Good morning. Would you join me this morning in prayer? Father, we come before you again today, just praising you and thanking you, Lord, for another day. Thanking you, Lord, for your love, your forgiveness, your provision, Lord. How you've gathered us, Lord, together. That you've made us family. What an awesome thing to have so many brothers and sisters. Continue, Lord, to lead us and guide us. Help us, Lord, when we stumble. Keep us on the straight and narrow. In Jesus' name, amen. In front of you are the prayer cards. Just take one out and fill it out for your prayer request or praise. And then pass those toward the middle. And they will gather those up here in a little bit. One minute. There's prayer cards in front of you in the chairs. You can take those out and fill them out. And we'll put those up front. And then they will be prayed over throughout the week. And I encourage you to come up and get a prayer card. If you can't get down at the altar, please use the front pews, chairs, to use to pray at. Just stick a kid under your arm and walk out. Aren't we blessed with those kids? Amen. Amen. There goes the bigger kid right there. If you'd open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, we're in the last chapter of 1 Peter, and we're going to get through part of it today. Only the first four verses. We've been looking at how we may have to suffer for being Christians, right? We've been looking at that part of it. And we may not have to, but we have to suffer if we do for doing God's will. That's the way we may have to suffer for being in His will. And that's the kind of suffering we are told to have the right attitude about. But today starts a different place where we're at. We're not talking so much about the suffering. We're talking about elders in the church. And I want, before I go any further, elders are the leaders of the church, right? That's the one we call ours the governance board. And we're blessed with having people that are concerned with what's going on with you as the church as well as with the building. And we'll get into a little bit more about that as we go along here. First four verses of 1 Peter, starting at chapter 5, verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, and that's the only time in the Bible in the New Testament that is said, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Now, elders usually refers to those who are older in years. But it can also refer to those who are older or more mature in their faith than those they are shepherding. If you have someone who has come to Jesus at the age of 60 and desires to be an elder in the church to hold a place of authority, but they have not been a Christian but for a couple of years, versus someone who has in their late 20s or early 30s who has walked with the Lord for 10 or 20 years, who do you want leading you in that position? Right? You want somebody that's mature in Christ. They can be 30-somethings, but they need to be mature in Christ versus someone who is elderly and doesn't know the Lord as well. I didn't look at you. I tried not to look at anybody when I said that. The Bible instructs us in 1 Timothy 3 that a church leader must not be a new believer. because they might become proud and the devil would cause them to fall. That's right out of 1 Timothy 3. And this is why many congregations suffer. They are not looking for the mature in Christ. Those involved and growing in their relationship, and so they suffer for it. Usually it's if they can show up and they have a heartbeat, then we'll put them on a board. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And there are many churches that just look for experience. Business people are often put on boards, or the older, more experienced person to lead, maybe not mature in Christ, though. It is far better to have a combination of spiritually mature and the life experience together. And we are blessed to have that in this congregation, in our, excuse the expression, ladies, elders in the church. We are blessed on the board to have those type of people who are mature in Christ and have been and have some life experiences that help us as we go forward. We have to be careful about who we're willing to place on a board that guides and guards, that shepherds the flock. We don't want the church to suffer from lack of spiritual maturity or experience. And like I said, we are blessed here. Peter, in writing this, he's modeling what it is to be a humble elder. Think about it. He is modeling what it is to be one. He has warned them of possible suffering, which we talked about, and is giving guidance to all elders or spiritual leaders in the church. Now, I want you to keep in mind exactly who Peter was. Okay? Peter was called an apostle by Jesus Christ. He was called to be an apostle by Jesus Christ. He spent 3 years with Jesus being taught by him. That's awesome. He was with him at the transfiguration up on the mountain. He had witnessed the trials of Jesus, all three, when he was drugged from one place to the other. And he was possibly with them when he got the 40 lashes minus one, when he was beaten. And from a distance, he watched him go on the trip to the cross. He could have been there, they're not sure, at the crucifixion at a distance. We know that John was at the foot of the cross, but Peter was away from a distance. He saw the empty tomb, talked to the risen Savior, and was given authority at the ascension. And Peter only refers to himself as a fellow elder. He had the authority to tell them in that authority what to do and how to be it. Instead, he comes to them humbly and speaks to the church, or writes to the church, about what it is to be an elder in the church. Now, Peter has denied Christ, right? 3 times. But before Jesus ascended, he had a little talk with Peter. And I'm going to read to you that conversation from John 21. Starting at verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, You will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter did just as he was commanded to do. This letter is a testimony of his feeding and tending the flock, the sheep he was commanded to. So he knows that he will partake in the glory that is to come as he has been obedient out of love for our Lord and Savior. Right? That tells us that if we are obedient out of love, that glory awaits us, each and every one of us. His example of what it means to shepherd the flock and his instructions to all of us are ones that the leaders of the church, of each congregation, should seek to follow, as well as the rest of the flock, right? We should do nothing within the ministries we are called to under compulsion, not because you must, but willingly, not for shameful gain, but out of a willingness to serve. Eager is what it says, right? The motivation behind all the ways we should serve is and should be love. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So we should be serving out of love for one another. Nor should there be an attitude of superiority, especially among those we are called to serve, but one of humility. One in which which others are placed first. And we are called to have the attitude of Christ. Again, one of humility, selflessness, love, and service to others. One in which the needs of others are put first. I will tell you that when we were trying to get the budget together last year for this year, 23 into 24, we spent 4-hour days here at the church on a Saturday every other week for a while. They sacrificed their time. They sacrificed their being with their families for you. That's what the elders are supposed to do. They set an example for me to see what could be done. And we're blessed that way. This is the attitude that the church is to have with and for one another. The elders should be setting an example for each and every person within the church, modeling and teaching holy living as part of their responsibilities. And speaking of responsibility, it is not just the elders of the church that are going to be held accountable, but each and every member of the flock that's going to be held accountable and is responsible for who? One another. You're responsible for your neighbor. You're responsible for your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you see one of them falling away, what are you to do? Huh? Too bad. No. We're to reach down and help them get up. We're to help them clean themselves up and get them back on track. The straight and narrow is straight and narrow. And it's hard to stay there sometimes. There are 59 one another's that apply to all of God's church. 59 to each member of God's family, to you and to me. And if you want a copy of them, they're brightly colored. They're back there on that back to the right as you walk out the door. Every one of them is on this. In the first 5, we're to love one another. The first 7, we're told to love one another 5 times. We are to love one another, to be the church. Also, we, each of us, not just the elders, have been gifted for the common good of the church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Each of you Every one of us who claim Christianity, who walk with the Lord, have been gifted by the Holy Spirit for the church, for the common good of the church. And we are to love God and one another and use those gifts to serve Him right where He has placed us, within the local church, local congregation. Each of us are also called to share the gospel and to live lives of holiness, as so to witness, not only to those of the kingdom, but also to those of the world. Both at the same time. Being good stewards of God's very grace, as we were told in 4:10. We serve one another. We pray for one another. Teach and study scripture with one another. Carry each other's burdens, forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven us, and we encourage one another. That's some of the one another's that are out there that we're all supposed to be doing. When was the last time you encouraged someone or helped someone or prayed for someone? Those are the things we should be doing every day. Hebrews 10 tells us this: let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I can't stir you up. You can't stir those around you up if you're not coming together to do it. It can happen over a phone, but it's much more effective when we come together out of love and stir one another up to love and good deeds and encourage one another to keep moving forward. Everybody likes to be encouraged because that day is coming. The last day, judgment day. It's the day the chief shepherd returns, right? That's what we just read. On that day, all who have done righteously, the elders and who were examples to the flock, who along with all the others that live lives of holiness and obedience, will enter into glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. We have something to look forward to. One of the commentaries said about verse 4, that it implies possibly, I'm quoting, possibly that the elders will be judged on how they functioned as shepherds in the flock. That was one take. We know that James tells us that teachers will be judged with greater strictness. So one should perhaps presume the same for elders, since they were called to a higher standard due to their position of influence and responsibility. And let me tell you, as a pastor and a teacher, yes, that concerns me. I'm going to be very careful of what I teach, that I believe it, or preach. Two responsibilities of a shepherd are to feed and tend the sheep. Right? We read that. And we are also taught in John 10, and I encourage you to read that, that good shepherds lay down their lives for their sheep. They set their wants, their will, their agenda aside for the sheep, for the flock. That's what a good shepherd does, lays down their lives. So, we must all keep in mind, especially the elders, that sheep tend to wander. And that as elders and pastors, we are called as under shepherds to feed and guide God's flock. It's that easy and that hard. All, that includes elders, pastors, and everyone who have gone astray. We have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. I'm quoting, right? Isaiah 53:6, in case you wanted to know. Everyone has sinned. Everyone. There's not one here. We've all gone on astray. So we should be willing to forgive and move forward in our relationship with one another, right? Love one another as God, as you would want to be loved. And I think this is why we're called to be patient and kind to one another within the church and to those outside the church, because we know where they've been, because we've walked that path, and we were convicted and made a choice in that conviction to follow the Lord. Something brought us to that point. Probably somebody was praying for you. This is why we should also be willing to reach out to those who have gone astray, who have wandered from the flock. We all know people who are no longer here. We just have prayed about them. We know those who have, we may know people that may not have attended church with us, but have wandered away from the church they once were in. We need to encourage them to go back. Each of us were lost in sin, hell-bound in the passions and desires of our flesh. Self-centered goats who were following the ways of the enemy and were headed to where the enemy will be imprisoned for eternity. And yet, God, out of love, sent His only Son, His one and only Son, to pay the penalty for our sin, so that whosoever believes, whosoever, you're all, if you're following the Lord, are whosoever's, right? Because we, after being convicted, chose to follow after the Lord. Jesus rescued and redeemed us. Amen?
Amen.
But there are other sheep who are not yet a part of the flock, some who have wandered away, and there are many goats who may yet become sheep. Isn't it miraculous that God can take a goat and make it into a sheep? That is something, because we were all at one time probably goats. These people don't have a shepherd. We are commissioned to go in search of those shepherdless souls. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. And we know that Jesus was sent to what? To seek and save the lost. None of us can save another person. But we can seek them out and we can introduce them to the person that can save them. So, what was Peter's motivation to feed and tend God's flock? Was it not love? Yeah, it was love. The love and care we have for one another and those we serve will be proportional to our love for God. Your love for those you serve, for those around you, will be proportional to how you love God. Those words really stirred me. Do I get that? Do I understand that as much as I love God, I'm going to love my neighbor? Because it flows through us. The love of God is being poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Favorite verse, Romans 5:5. Because it reminds me that I'm not alone. That He's with me. He's empowering me. He's enabling me to be the person He called me to be. And we're enabled and empowered as the church to be the church He's called us to be. Jesus said to Peter, if you love me, do you love the Lord? It is love for God and our neighbor that should get us to go, that should get us to be out there in the world, that should get us talking to our neighbors, our family members, our co-workers, the people at Walmart and Myers, the stranger on the corner that we run into. They are hell-bound, and we do nothing. We need to wake up. to follow the great shepherd and do as he did? Is your shepherd Jesus? Are you following him? Or are you tending to go your own way? To do what you want to do? To go where you want to go? Oh, I want to serve in a church, but don't ask me to go into the nursery. And don't ask me to go back there because they will eat you alive. I mean, some of us feel that way. I want to serve, but I want to do what I want to do. And God wants to do what? Stretch us. He wants to make us into something we're not right now. And maybe it is that we have to serve in the kitchen or serve with the kids, or maybe God's calling you to be up front with Jamie and play an instrument. Maybe God's calling you to do something other than that. You have to answer your calling. I can't answer it for you. God's called us all to be Christians. He's called us all to into a relationship with him. And then he gifts us and guides us and helps us and enables us through his Spirit to do exactly what he wants you to do. I never thought in my life that I would stand in front of people and talk like I'm talking now. Never. And here I am. And I'm blessed beyond measure. I want to close with the 23rd Psalm. So if you would all stand, we'll read this together. Well, you'll read that together. I'll read that one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. If you don't know Jesus as your shepherd, now's the time to come. Now's the time to come and give your life to him and let him watch over you. Let him lead you. Surrender your life now to him because that's what he wants. And I'm going to tell you from experience, he can do a whole lot better job of guiding my life than I ever did. Now's the time.
If you would bow your heads with me, we're going to go into prayer, but we invite you all to stay. We have refreshments in the kitchen. We stay for times of fellowship so that we can get to know each other and hold each other accountable, love on each other. That's what God wants us to do. People have burdens and they need to be carried other than by themselves. They need to be carried by us, the church. So if you would bow your heads with me as we go to prayer. God, we come to you today, and God, we thank you for your words today, Father. God, it's not just the elders of the church. It's all of us who have to carry your word to the unsaved, to the hurting, to the lost. God, we pray that you would anoint us when you would have us to speak, Father God. If we're in the grocery store and you would have us to speak to someone, Father God, just be with us. Give us the words to say. God, sometimes it's scary. But God, you go with us. There's never a time that you're not with us. So, Father God, we just pray that you would be with us. Bring people to us that we can share your love and your comfort with, Father. And these things we ask in your name. Amen.